sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father.
Gracious, you get two preachers tonight. That's what we'd call a twofer, we hope. So we hope that you feel that way when the service is over. Certainly we could talk about fellowship. Appreciate everything that Brother John said, but that's not on our mind because I figured he had already preached it, and sure enough he did. So this church has already heard it, but I am thankful for the opportunity to meet together. I'm thankful to see those that's from Salem Church and Point Remove, and very thankful to see folks from New Hope here. Driving up here, I was truly praying that God would bless this service tonight. Amen. Amen. In such a mighty way that we can't wait until October when we meet again. That's really what I hope and pray.
Amen,
and hope you're praying as well. I didn't intend to do this, but it kind of worked out that way. I heard a brother preach out of the 65th Psalm a few weeks ago, and really stirred my mind. And so I've been speaking from that. Two Sundays ago, spoke on 65, verse 1. And this morning we tried to speak on Psalm 65, verses 2 and 3. And so I told the folks at New Hope, I said, if you want to hear the conclusion, because I really want to get to verse 4, but if you want to hear the conclusion of this series, you got to come to Salem. So thankful that some made it and others were not able to and they had prior commitments. I don't know what they're going to do. They won't hear the end of this sermon. So I'm going to try to be very brief so I give plenty of time to Brother Gary. And I want to, so I would. Hopefully, I pray the Lord would bless us to bring this into a very reasonable amount of time that it doesn't belabor. Psalm 65, the first three verses, I'm going to try my best. It's so hard, y'all. It's so hard not to comment on them, and I probably will, but I'm going to try really hard not to. The bad thing about part three is that New Hope and Point Remove members, y'all didn't hear part one and two. Sorry about that. So we'll cover it real quick. Psalm 65, how beautiful this psalm begins. I know I've read it before. I'm sure I've read it many times, but it just has amazingly jumped out at me.
Amen.
And David writes, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed." That is, I'll try not to comment on 2 and 3, but I do want to comment on verse 1. "Praise waiteth For thee, O God, in Zion. Zion, we know, is a picture of the New Testament church. We're in. I trust that we will be blessed by the Holy Spirit to enter Mount Zion tonight. I felt the Lord with us in song. Certainly, I pray that in an even more manifest and in a greater way, that through the preaching of the gospel, we're blessed to go up even higher. All right, and praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. So we're in Zion right now. I trust we're in Zion. I trust we'll enter into the spiritual Zion, but we're in Zion. And what David is saying is that praise waiteth for thee. Now, I love my dear preach brethren. I can't even tell them how much I love them. I love all of you, especially love the members where I try to serve with all my heart, and thank God that He's blessed us to become a church family, and I don't know what we'd do without each other, right? I mean, it's just so, God, you're so, and it's so good to see you, so good to have this time of fellowship, but the only thing that's going to make that special tonight is if God is our chief guest, if the Lord Jesus Christ is here in the midst of the church singing praises unto God the Father. That God, the only thing that makes that fellowship that we hope to have and continue to have, what I'm hoping for tonight is God visits us in such a way that we feel His presence, that the hairs on our neck stand up on end because of the awesomeness and the power of the Spirit of an Almighty God. That's what I want to feel tonight. And God, and David is telling us that when God does visit Zion, there should be something already there that is waiting on God's arrival, and that is praise. That's why now I believe certainly the song service is part of the worship service. We worship Him in song. I believe that actually is a way. Now, God can come certainly in the song service, and He does many times, but that is a way to certainly tender our hearts, get our minds focused, and where we're praising God. We're adoring Him, we're thanking Him, we're exalting His name in song, that when He comes to visit, praise is already here, waiting for His arrival. Amen. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be formed. Now, I already spent way too long. I was just going to make a comment, and my goodness gracious, so y'all pray for me. We could talk about the vows. We are to perform our vows in the Lord's house. Verse 2, I'm not going to comment, just listen to this. This really got to me this morning. Listen. O thou that hearest prayer. Is that not amazing? O thou that hearest prayer. Unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. All right, at least 2 hours of preaching in that. Can't do it. I want to get to verse 4. But thank God He hears prayer. He hears our prayers. Some worm of the dust, like myself. Y'all should have heard it this morning. If y'all would have been new up this morning, you would have heard how horrible of a person I am. Sinner, that I'm nothing. Yay, I'm less than nothing. As Paul says, I'm the chiefest. That's what I was trying to say this morning. It just didn't go. As Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And yet the God of glory hears the prayer of someone like me. It's amazing. And to understand that, yes, iniquity sometimes, you know, we thank God we understand that they've been purged by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. I think David is saying here in verse 3 that sometimes, even though we realize that, sometimes our iniquities rise up and haunt us and get us down and depressed, and we see the blackness of our sin. Oh, but what a blessing it is to know that they've been purged. All right? Not pardoned, but purged. So verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Blessed is the man. Now, I'm sick and tired of all this gender talk. I really am. I don't mean to offend anyone, but to me, males are males and females are females. The Bible is very clear who is a male and who's a female. I mean, the Bible's very clear. If you listen to our podcast, cheap plug right here. If you listen to mine and Alex's podcast, we talk about gender in a way because the Bible talks about Ahab's posterity and the phrase that it uses. I'm going to use it now. But the phrase that it uses, you know, it's talking about men. Okay, so the Bible's very clear. But the only reason I bring that up is because we do understand. I just want to make sure everyone understands when, unless it's talking about a specific person, when it says men, we're talking about men and women, old and young, you know, male, female, black, white. We're talking about all manner of men, mankind. And so, blessed is the man, blessed is the person, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the child. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Now, we have to rightly divide the word of truth. We understand that certainly there is the doctrine of election, which I believe this is what's being taught here. And if you disagree with me, then just hang with, you know, just hold on and we'll talk about it. But you do have to, you know, sometimes there are natural choices or God's made choices that affect us in a time, you know, the nation of Israel was the chosen nation of God. Certainly that affected their life. In the Old Testament, you had all these nations and there was one that was blessed above all nations. It was the nation of Israel. Why? Because God chose Israel. But I believe David is talking here and speaking of the fact that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world and hath caused us through the act of regeneration to approach unto him. He's given us that. Not only has he caused us to approach unto him, but from that point forward, we have the recurring ability to continue to approach unto him. Right? Amen. All right, so blessed is the man. You know what, dear friends? I do not think, and this is my feeling, I can only talk about me. I don't think I truly realize. I don't think I can fathom how truly blessed I am. I wonder, do we really understand how blessed we are? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Oh, Brother Mike, what we do deserve this? What we do that God would look down upon us and with an eye of love, with a tender moment, reach down to our lowest state, our depraved state, and choose us and cause us to approach unto him. What did we do? We didn't do anything, right? Because it's God's choice. It's the doctrine of election. But, oh, dear friends, because we are God's people, blessed are we.
Amen.
Blessed are we. Oh, just go down Matthew chapter 5 and what we call the Beatitudes, and you see all of those things, how blessed we are. The poor in spirit, how blessed they are. Those that mourn, how blessed they are. Those that seek and hunger after righteousness, how blessed they are. Friends, we are blessed. God, from the beginning, chose his people from the foundation of the world and gave us to his Son, who came down to this low ground of sin and sorrow, lived and died, and gave himself on the cross of Calvary, was nailed to the cross, and there he poured out his soul. He gave himself an offering, and in doing so, he died for us, dear friends. And in doing so, he blessed us now to be in a state of holiness and blamelessness before God.
Unreal.
It's amazing, right?
Unreal.
Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. Peter tells us, 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. We understand what, you know, I understand if God has not opened your eyes, and especially if you have been taught otherwise, it's very difficult to understand the doctrine of election. I understand that. And in fact, if a person has been taught against the doctrine, something against the doctrine of election, is practically impossible to show it to them. I mean, God has to open their eyes to see it. We had a young man, granddaughter's husband, Brother Wayne, come and it was amazing. A few weeks ago, we had another person that was not a Primitive Baptist, and boy, you could tell it. Sorry, you just knew it. You could tell it. And so he, after the sermon, he came and he asked me, he said, I would like to ask you some questions. It's like, sure, great, I love people to ask me questions. He started asking these questions, and you know, right off the bat, I'm just telling you like it is. You knew, I knew, it's like, you're not really seeking the truth. You already know what you believe, you just want to hear what I say. I mean, that's just kind of the feeling I got. Oh, and he was talking about predestination and election, and he had questions like that, and I was trying to explain it. And this Evan came, don't call your son some. No, I shouldn't say that. I'm not even going to say that. It's hard. I get a mix up. It's like, Ethan. All right. So Evan came and wasn't raised in the old Baptist church, was raised under the. Well, he came and he said, well, Brother Tim, could I answer that question? I'm like, sure, answer it. And I tell you what, for the next 10 minutes, he preached the doctrine of election to that young man. And I was just, I mean, inside I'm going like, yes, it is great. It is so great. And the thing that amazed me, he even told this young man and told me, he said, Brother Tim, or he was talking to this other man, he said, now, listen, I haven't always believed this way. In fact, it's only been a month since I believed this way. I couldn't understand. I know what Heather family, I know what they believe. I've been to Old Baptist Church with her many times. I know what they believe. I didn't get it. Just didn't get it. Couldn't see it. Couldn't understand it. Thought they were, you know, old-fashioned. It's just wrong. And then he said, but over the last few months, he heard it. I don't know if it's something I said or something he heard. It got his mind to thinking. And he began studying. He began praying. And he said, about a month ago, the Lord opened my eyes, and I saw the doctrine of election. Amen. And he said, you know what that did to me? It set me free. Amen. It set him at liberty. Oh, I was like, yes, yes. Oh, it's so good. All right. What a blessing. So it is hard. God must open your eyes to be able to see that. But what a blessing it is to know. God chose us.
Amen.
Because we understand that in our natural state, we never would have chosen him.
That's right.
And so if God didn't choose us, there would be no salvation, period.
That's right. Amen.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge. Why did he choose us? Because he foreknew us. He foreloved us. Now we understand that God is omniscient. He has all knowledge beforehand. God, this is amazing. God declared the end from the beginning before the beginning ever started. God has all knowledge. He knows everything. But there is an aspect of his omniscience that is called foreknowledge, and it is a special knowledge. It is a knowing knowledge. It is akin to a husband and a wife coming together and knowing one another. It's a very intimate relationship. And God foreloved you.
Amen.
And because he did, he chose you and predetermine your destination, that you would be conformed to the image of his son, fashioned like unto his glorious body. So blessed are we. And that, all right, just the fact that he chose us, friends, that opens the world of blessings to us each and every day. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. There's so much more, but I'm going to skip it. I want to get to the last part. I'll just say this. What separated you from God? What separated us from God? You go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam had a very close relationship with God, right? They had fellowship. But then something happened that separated, that severed that relationship and separated Adam from God. What was it? Sin. So because of our sins, we're separated from God. Well, oh, dear friends, how blessed we are to understand that by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, he hath brought us nigh unto God.
Amen.
You know, I love the doctrine of reconciliation. It's one of those accounting terms. I love it, right? But it's not like, you know, it's not mediate. I mean, you could use the word mediate. He's a mediator, so there is mediation. But it's not like what we think of mediation. It's not like, you know, you got a NFL team and you got a player and they're at odds, and so you bring in a mediator. And, you know, usually in man's mediation, there's a few concessions. You see this in government all the time, right? There's a few concessions here. All right, we'll concede a few things because we want what, so we can get what we really want. And then this side, we'll concede a few things so we can get what they're. And so hopefully there's some compromise, there's some concessions. Friends, that's not what happened. God doesn't concede anything. God doesn't need reconciling. He's perfect. He's holy. He's sinless. He does not need. So what Christ did is he reconciled us to God.
Amen.
We had that close relationship. Sin severed it. We were separated. We died.
That's right.
And then Christ, by the work of his, by the death of upon the cross, brought us back to God.
That's right.
Reconciled
Amen.
Us. And now we were caused to approach unto him. All right. Could say a lot more, but I want to get this next part. Why? All right. Election. It's based on God's love. It's an unconditional love. I can't give you a reason. God just, I tell you what, if anyone here, or if you know someone that really has a very difficult time understanding the doctrine of election, this is what you tell them. Go and study on the sovereignty of God. You study on the sovereignty of God, and then also go study scriptures that talk about the potter. Because the potter has sovereignty over that clay. So just tell them, you know, just study on sovereignty. And if you study on sovereignty, it's very possible you'll come to understand that God can do whatsoever he wants to do. Y'all, you know, when I think I was in third grade, we had an art class in third grade, and I made we got some clay, we molded it, we fashioned it, and I made an ashtray for my dad. He smoked a pipe. Now, the funny thing about that is he quit smoking 2 years before this. So why I made an ashtray, I have no idea. But, you know, that was I usually take the easy way out any way I can. Ashtray's easy. Like you make a circle, you put a little hole in it, but, you know, it's an ashtray, right? You know, you might put a little divot on the side so the pipe or the, you know, can sit there. So really easy. I didn't make anything complex. I will tell you this, that ashtray was kept for many years because I made it for Dad, but eventually it ended up in the trash, as it should have been. Because I tell y'all, that was the ugliest ashtray you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it was horrid. It was ugly. It was just horrid. I can't think of a better term. It was horrid. But you know what? I made it. That's the picture I had in my mind. That's how I made it. And I had every right to do it that way because I was the potter. And that ashtray was the clay. That little ashtray has no right to look at me and say, why did you make me so ugly? No right.
That's right.
And friends, we're the clay.
That's right.
God's the potter. And he is sovereign. That's what makes him God. Listen, he's the sovereign. Right? He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen. He is the sovereign. He's the sovereign. There can only be one. There can't be two sovereigns equal. No, then you're not sovereign.
That's right.
God is sovereign.
Amen.
And he, because he loved us with an everlasting love, an unconditional love, mm-hmm. he chose us and put us in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, I said I was going to go on and I didn't. I got to hurry. Why? Why did God choose us? Why did God cause all of his people to approach unto him through the act of regeneration? Why? What is God expecting? You know, in that like us, we do something, we try, at least, well, I'll just talk about me. You know, I'll do something for someone, and maybe in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, surely they'll return the favor, right? You know, I mean, let's be honest, not so God. Or is he? Does he expect something from us? I say that he does.
Amen.
Now, we understand we can't pay him back for the debt that he paid for us. Sin is a debt. He paid it. You know, like the scriptures say, we were 10,000 talents in debt and don't have a farthing to pay. In modern day vernacular, I would say we are $2 bazillion in debt and I don't have a penny to my name. Nothing. I have nothing to pay God. I cannot repay God for what he's done for me. But there is something that he has divided, that's a bad word, that he has set up for us that he expects from his children. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee that. All right, we understand from Ephesians chapter 1 that the reason God did anything was to his glory.
That's right.
Right? It's to the praise of his glory.
Right.
Here is how God has designed. I know that's a bad word. It's the only one I got right now. Here's how God has designed us, his children, to offer that praise to him for his glory.
Right.
To the praise of his glory. For being chosen by him unconditionally. For being born of the Holy Spirit and given a heart of flesh instead of a stony heart. To be given the fruit of the Spirit, joy, love, faith, peace, good brotherly kindness, patience, all of those things. To have those wonderful blessings. And then I think Peter says, God who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Oh, we're blessed. Why did God do it? To the praise of his glory and his grace. And here's how we do that. That we may dwell in thy courts.
Amen.
We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Church, now, as pastor, I'm really preaching to the choir right now. They're the ones that traveled here, right? All of us, listen. We need to be here.
Amen.
We need to be in the house of God. Blessed are you. You're so blessed.
Right.
God chose you. He took you out of sin and depravity and set you on your feet. You will now stand before him holy and without blame. What does God want? He wants you to dwell in his house.
Amen.
And praise him all the days of your life.
That
we may dwell in his courts. And I tell you what, dear friends, this is a win-win for us. It really is. It's a win-win. We were passive in the blessings of being chosen by God. We were passive in the blessing of being born of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we do need to dwell in his courts. That is up to us. But if we dwell in his courts, which is not that big of a deal, right? I mean, we serve him in the church of the living God. If we dwell in his courts, guess what? We're going to be satisfied with the fatness of his goodness.
Amen.
It's a win-win.
Right.
So why do we not do it?
Good question.
that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. In the old temple, there were three things, basically, that you had. There was incense, there was a candlestick, and showbread. Same is true today. May our songs of praise, may our prayers, may the preaching of the gospel be as a sweet-smelling savor unto God.
Amen.
May we be blessed with that manna from on high that feeds our soul.
Yes.
Y'all know I like to eat and I like to feed my stomach, but I like to eat and feed my soul.
Amen.
And a candlestick. All the blessed light of the gospel. But more so than that, dear friends, Revelation, one of the letters to the churches that is recorded in the book of Galatians, talks about the candlestick. Well, no, it's actually not in the letters. It's before that, right? But it talks about the candlestick. I won't take the time to turn there. But it talks about the candlestick. We understand that the candlestick is the church. And you know what's supposed to go on a candlestick?
Right.
Is a candle.
Right.
You are the light of the world.
That's right. Amen.
The salt of the earth.
Yes.
You are a candle. Where should you be, friends?
That's right.
But on the candlestick in the church.
Beautiful.
In his courts.
Amen.
Again, it's a win-win because you dwell in his courts and you will be satisfied with the with his goodness. I think I'm satisfied with the goodness of thy house. There's another place, I forget where it is now, that talks about the fatness and we won't go there. So, real quickly, I want to make two more quick points. In Isaiah chapter 62, verse 3, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Forsaken means to leave, to abandon, to depart. Right? Thou shalt no longer be termed forsaken. Neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. Desolate is, it means a desolate waste, a devastation. I believe Mount Zion is what he's about to refer to next. What we have today. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Phonetically, that's what it looks like. Right? Thou shalt be called Hephzibah, which means my delight is in her.
Yes.
Friends, the church of the living God, the house of God, the court of God, where we should dwell, where we should offer praise unto his name, we are called Hephzibah. Mm-hmm. We, the church, that lady, that sweet lady, is we are his delight. We are God's delight.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, which simply means married.
Yeah.
We are married unto the Lord. So, I want to compare two scriptures. Psalm 8 and 2. I'm going to read Psalm 8 and 2, and then we'll go to Matthew chapter 21, I believe, and see where it's quoted, where Psalm 8 and 2 is quoted. So David writes, we'll just get verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Right? That's what David records. Psalm 8 and 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Now in Matthew chapter 21, the Lord himself quotes Psalm 8 and 2, and this is how, but he changes it a little bit. This is what he says. Matthew 21, 16. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea. This is what happened, right? This is All right, the day before, the Lord comes in on the foal of an ass into Jerusalem. It's his triumphant entry into Jerusalem right before he's going to be crucified, right before he's going to give his life and die on the cross for the sins of all his people that they might have eternal life. And as he's entering into Jerusalem, the people are crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And I love this. The Pharisees are like, all this noise. You know, there's all this noise. There's all this noise. They go to the apostles and say, "Would you tell them to be quiet? You know, quiet down." And the Lord hears that. He says, "Listen, if they stop praising me, these stones would rise up and shout Hosanna, would praise me," right? God will receive his praise. If we don't do it, he'll cause the stones to shout praises unto God.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
So the next day, the Lord goes in the temple. I think this is where he turns out the money changers, I believe. And so we hear in chapter 21, oh no, this is where he healed the blind and the lame. Verse 15, "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased." So now, this next day, now it's the children. The children are singing Hosanna. "And they said unto him, 'Hearest thou what they say?' And Jesus saith unto them, 'Yea. Have you never read?'" I love how he talks to the Pharisees. Like, yeah, they knew the law better than anybody, right? "Have you never heard this? Have you not heard this? Did you not study like you say you study?" Right? I love that. I mean, he's kind of jiving them here. He's like, "Hey, yeah, have you never read? 'Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise.'" All right? Psalm, the David writes, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength." When the Lord quotes it, he says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, they have perfected praise." Yeah. I tell you what, dear friends, praising God is a position of strength.
Amen.
We are strong. We are strong in our life, in our families, in our churches. We are strong when we're praising God.
Amen.
"Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion." May God bless us to forever dwell in his courts. And as we do so, oh, dear friends, we'll be satisfied with the goodness of his house. God bless you, my prayer.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me? Sing his word. Sing his word. The saints in glory. The saints in glory. Gathered by the crystal sea.